This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, bad weather coming in, starting around 9 o'clock, primarily between 10 and 11. Some high winds, also rain that could, two fronts could merge and park over the area, either north or south shore. You could be talking about 2 to 3 inches of rain in 2 hours. That's from Christopher Bannon with the National Weather Service. So we'll keep you updated as to everything you need to know here on WWL. We all remember what happened in Baltimore, right, when that Francis Scott Key Bridge was hit by the ship and the effects it had on traffic, not to mention vehicular traffic, not to mention maritime traffic. Well, the National Transportation Safety Board has issued a report that flagged bridges, six bridges in Louisiana, including the Huey P. Long, the Crescent City Connection, the Hale Boggs Bridge, the Horace Wilkinson Bridge, the Sunshine Bridge, and a Veterans Memorial Bridge. Can you imagine if something were to happen to the Crescent City Connection and or the Huey P. Long Bridge and what that would mean for traffic? Our friend Norma Jean Matte joins us, professor of engineering at my alma mater, UNO, past president of the American Society of Civil Engineers, to talk about it. How you doing, Norma Jean?
I'm doing well, Tommy. How about you?
I'm good. You had a good weekend?
I had a wonderful weekend out in the yard because of the beautiful weather.
Yeah, me too, picking up oak leaves. You need any?
Actually, I'll take all you can. I make compost.
Really? Come get them. And then come back tomorrow and get some more, because I guarantee they're not done falling yet. Tell me about this report from the NTSB.
Yeah, so the NTSB hasn't issued their final report, but this update listed 68 bridges around the U.S. Mm-hmm. that possibly could have issues. And that's because, one, these bridges all predate the requirement by AASHTO to take an assessment of vulnerability of the bridge to collision and then collapse.
AASHTO?
AASHTO, the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials.
Gotcha.
So they actually put out the guidelines and specifications that we civil and structural engineers use to design things like bridges.
So is this about, this is not about the structure of the bridge and it's standing up. It's about maritime traffic running into it or not?
This is an assessment that says, take a look. We don't know how vulnerable because it predates the requirements to do that type of check. And it actually predates the check because that check was created after the Sunshine Bridge collapse in Tampa. So these are older bridges. We never had eyeballs take a look at them. And so they're saying, hey, it's tall enough, it's old enough, and it has big enough vessels transiting underneath. So we highly recommend, they have no authority to require, but they highly recommend that the owners of those bridges do the assessments. What happened? Take a look at how vulnerable the bridge is.
What happened to Sunshine Bridge in Florida?
Well, it was similar to the Baltimore Bridge. It predates the Baltimore Bridge collapse, and there was an errant vessel, a freighter, that hit the bridge, and the bridge collapsed.
Wow.
So after that happened, AASHTO got together, got a committee together, and they created these guideline specs that allow a bridge owner to assess the vulnerability of their bridge design. But you can use this so that you can then redesign to make it below that bridge, below the threshold that's required. The problem with all of the, it's actually eight bridges, because we call the Crescent City Connection one bridge.
Mm-hmm, but,
it's really two. And then there's one over in Calcasieu that is on the list too. So it's not on the Mississippi, but it's over in Lake Charles. So there's actually eight bridges in Louisiana that are on that list. I think all by DOTD.
All right, let me take a break. And I want to distinguish between redesign and rebuild. And what would that mean? Because it seems to me, Norma Jean, I don't know from anything, but if you look at the cost of building a bridge and how important it is to vehicular traffic and people living their lives, it would seem to me, I don't know if it's cofferdams or what you do, but the easiest thing in the world or the most sensible thing in the world would be to spend whatever money it takes to make sure that they are safe from marine traffic. But you can take me through all of that from the engineering aspect when we come back. We're talking about the National Transportation Safety Board saying, as I understand it, maybe need to look at these bridges, things like the Crescent City Connection, UEP Long, four others in the state, to make sure that you're safe from marine traffic. Norma Jean Matte, professor of engineering at UNO, past president. President, rather, of the American Society of Civil Engineers, 722 Traffic, WWL. 727, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Norma Jean Matte, professor of engineering, my alma mater, UNO, past president of the American Society of Civil Engineers. So, Norma Jean, we talked about the NTSB, and they're saying take a look at these bridges. Among those, the UEP Long and Jefferson, not Baton Rouge, and also the Crescent City Connection. So it would seem to me, when you look at the amount of chaos that would ensue if something were to happen to either the Crescent City Connection or any of the other bridges, really, or the UEP Long, in terms of commute and traffic, and the cost of repairing this bridge, it would seem like the most cost-effective, sensible thing to do would be to upgrade whatever protection you need against maritime traffic. Am I missing something here or not?
Well, first of all, we don't know if any of these bridges are above, if once the assessment's done, if the vulnerability is above the threshold. If it's below the threshold or at the threshold, you do nothing. Mm-hmm. The risk is not great enough.
Okay.
But if it's above the threshold, then you then take a look at how you can get that number below the threshold. So we have part of the calculation involves the number of large ships.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is the type of waterway. So is it in a curve or is it straight? It's more risky if it's in a curve of the river. If the piers fall closer to the navigable channel, it's more risky. And then another one is just the piers. Are the piers robust enough to handle a hit of a vessel of that magnitude? And if they can handle the hit with damage but not collapse, then you may want to put some type of protection to minimize the damage, but you're surely not that vulnerable. So DOTD has to have somebody run those calculations, and it's not easy. It takes some time, you know, but I think it's a wise investment to see where these bridges are as far as their vulnerability, because the Key Bridge, they actually, in Baltimore, after the collapse, they ran the numbers, and it was well above that vulnerability threshold. So let's see where we are with these bridges to see if we're okay or not, and just how bad are they if they're not below the threshold.
Thank you, Norma Jean. Appreciate it as always. We'll take a break, come back, help you take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Right now, latest on the weather that's coming in. More with WWL First News and Dave Cohen. It is 7:44, 16 till 8 Monday morning, and the bad weather is approaching. The big concern between 10 and 11, if some showers merge, one front, one area merges with another and parks over the north or south shore, then it could lead to 2 or 3 inches of rain over a couple of hours, which could be trouble.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
But we'll have to watch it, and we'll let you know everything you need to know right here on WWL. Right now, we'll take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street, Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. How you doing, Mark?
Tommy, good morning. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to you. Mark, I'm having a good day. My basketball bets over the weekend broke even, and that's good because I needed the money.
Retired this week?
No, I needed the money. It broke even.
Oh, okay.
Real quick, CBS News reporting. Let me mention this, since we're talking about Wall Street and business and all that. Steel manufacturing deal, topic of an economic event at the White House today. President Trump's going to host Governor Jeff Landry to announce a $5.8 billion steel manufacturing project in Louisiana, according to a couple of sources. Project by South Korea's Hyundai expected to create a total of 5,500 direct and indirect jobs, according to one of the sources. So we'll watch for that. So I guess good economic news for Louisiana.
That's a big deal. That's a large project. That's great that it's coming here.
Glad
they chose us.
Let's talk about Wall Street and what's going on with the market this week and everything else.
I mean, last week, and it's going to dribble over into this week, but it was a lot of good economic news, especially in the housing sector. This is actually coming out of February. So the February numbers are coming in, and those were compared against January. We had cold weather, snow down here, obviously, and it kept some of that outside work at bay. But retail sales rebounded from January. January was down over 1% just for the month. That's a big number. And retail sales came back in February, up 0.2, a little less than expectations, but still up as the year is progressing. But housing, again, was the big deal. It took center stage. So we had housing starts for February up much larger than expectations. Building permits were up. Existing home sales were up, all three. This week is going to include, while I'm on the housing idea, new home sales for February is going to be up above expectations, and pending home sales also up above expectations. So it pent-up demand, all these things came rushing in February and reporting good numbers.
That's nationally, right, Mark, just to be clear?
Nationally. Yeah. And the Builders Association is saying, even with all that, we can't build enough homes. There is a housing shortage. We're still under the – and at the time, it's going to last for a long time. How many people want to give up a 2.5% mortgage? Only if you're selling your home and moving someplace else does that mortgage go away. Otherwise, people are like, prisoners in their own homes.
Let me use the timeout here. Let me use the timeout. So how long is this going to last? So the housing shortage, so people got a 2.5. I just want to walk through this. They got 2.5% mortgage. They're not about to give that up. So if they sell their house, they give that up. And they can't, nobody else can, they're not going to get a lower rate, so they're pretty much stuck where they are. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's it. And people have described it as a not an insignificant number. I mean, we saw refinances go through the roof in 2020 when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. The Fed dropped rates to almost zero. 2.5 and 2.7% was routine, fixed 30 years. So it's like, okay, well, then I'm sitting on this for a long time. Unless I'm selling. So for people that aren't selling, that it's tied up the housing market in a significant enough way that's where these builders are coming out and the homeowners associations are coming out saying we still need more housing to be built because the normal turnover rate has been muted by this incredibly low rate. Now, you know, I bought my house in 2018 and I was refinancing it in 20. I mean, the rate cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately I sold the house because I was in motion on that. But, you know, I'm sure the people that were holding my loan were beyond excited because that would be one loan that's turning over. The money received is going to go into loaning it out again at the 6% rate. So they were ecstatic about it. But if I have no intention, you know, you've been in the house for a while, I refinance in place just because the rates were so low. Mm-hmm. I had no intention to sell. I wasn't moving. I wasn't doing anything. So says so many people. And it's just I want my rate to drop and I'll keep the rest of the money. I mean, what a big deal. I mean, people are saving hundreds of dollars a month just with the refinance for the life of the loan. And if you redid it as you could for another 30 years, imagine you're in the house 10, 12, 15 years, refinanced it down and extended it for another 30. That money is good for 30 years going forward. Start counting at year 2020. So that could tie up quite a bit of real estate. And that's what, even with all the activity reported last month and going to be reported this week on additional February data, it's just tying up so much of the real estate that there's a shortage. And
so
the builders are being encouraged to build more to fill some of that shortage. Shut up. Go ahead.
No. I'm just trying to learn here. So let me look at both sides of this. On the homeowner's side, if they pay the home off, then they would have an incentive if they want a different home to sell and buy a new one. Maybe they could use the cash that they made, excluding, I guess if you put in a new home, you have to pay capital gains taxes. I don't mean to get too far in the weeds here. But
there's an exclusion.
What is it?
So most people wouldn't have to pay
capital
gains. I think it's like $500,000. I'd have to look that up.
Okay, so, but even so, would the people be able to afford to pay them the increased value of the property with the higher interest rates? So would there really be a market for that?
Trying to unpack all that. So
yeah. So in other words, my house has gone up $200,000 in value. I got it paid off. So now I can sell it and make $200,000 on it. However, who could afford to buy my home at the plus $200,000 with the higher interest rates? Is there a market for that?
That's it. And a lot of people jumped on when we had some influx in the rates back in, I think, August of last year. We had a five that lit up, and we did a lot of 30-year loans at five. Those mm-hmm. who seized on that moment, people that were waiting for one more basis point to drop, that moved away from them. Now, we're coming around to this year, and the Fed met last week, no changes, but it's starting to creep in two interest rate decreases that was previously not in the forecast. So they had talked, Powell had talked about that. He's not in any hurry. That's his words. They need to see the inflation numbers. We have the Fed's inflation gauge that's set to come out this week, and it's the year over year is about 2.5%. So we'll see what they say about that. But that's good news according to Fed and according to what inflation is doing. And my point is, like we saw last summer, if the expectations start coming out, then financial institutions are going to front run that. They're going to start lowering some of their rates when they can to attract some more business. So last August, again, it started with a 5. That rate crept up to like 7, and now it's in the 6s. Mm-hmm. Tommy, you and I were talking about just a couple of weeks ago that rates were down 6 weeks in a row, and not by all that significant amount, but several basis points each week that were falling. So I think it's going to be that with 2 rate reductions that are planned, I mean, we might see something in the 5s again, and that then going back to your example, somebody could afford that. I mean, you know, every basis point that drops on mm-hmm. big ticket items, it could be consequential to the purchaser.
So what happens to inflation if that happens?
Well, okay, so that's the worry. And is inflation going to come about? Not so much from the housing market, even though that's not going to be insignificant. I think people are worried about all the tariffs that are coming on. Mm-hmm. Powell came out this past week saying, okay, I understand that. I see all the tariffs coming. I see what's coming out from Washington. And I believe he picked up the term again. Remember a couple of years ago, he said, I think inflation is transitory. He said it again this time. He said, I think the tariffs will be transitory, and that's not going to have a significant or permanent increase in inflation. Well, with that, the Dow spiked up. Markets recovered. Just last week, we were saying that the Dow was down 6% year-to-date. We had some sell-offs. Well, as of this morning, it's up pre-market about 400, mm-hmm. and it's basically regained all that it lost. So it's only down 0.4%. As of today, if it opens where it's expected to open. But it regained all that, so people were encouraged. Naturally, it continues to be a wait and see. And he reported the economy continues to expand. GDP is positive. Unemployment rate is low at 4.1%. But some analysts were talking about, well, okay, if it doesn't pan out and this economy really slows, the word stagflation is coming back into our lexicon and people are starting to use it, meaning that the economy is slowing, but inflation continues to increase, even though it by small amounts. That's where stagflation was termed. I think that was back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But there's still some worry. There's still some headwinds. There's still some things that are in front. There always is. So it's just a matter of how this is going to manifest itself this week when that PCE comes. That's probably one of the biggest things that could come out this week.
We don't want any stagflation. I'm going to tell you that right now. No, sir.
You and I lived through that, and it is brutal.
That is the worst of both worlds. That is the worst of everything combined. That's like a toothache combined with syphilis. I don't know where that came from, but it's terrible. Okay. It's just awful. You don't want it.
I think you're right. I agree.
Having lived through it, I can tell you it's terrible. It's bad. Thank you, Mark. Have a good week.
Thanks so much. All right.
Very valuable information from Mark, not necessarily from me. He'll be back Friday as we help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. I didn't mean to be indelicate there, but if you live through stagflation, high interest rates and high prices, it's not good. 7:55, 5 till 8, traffic now, WWL.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.